with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for this passage of Scripture. I pray, dear God, as I pull the truth out of it, we would have ears to hear. And, Father, we would just honor Christ in all that we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, these four verses contain many truths. Such could be addressed as the great cloud of witnesses, and those great cloud of witnesses are found in the previous chapter, or Hebrews chapter 11. It also tells us how we are to run the race of faith effectively, and that we are to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ the whole way. Or we could preach on the encouragement that we get from the Lord as he endured to finish the work that the Father gave him to do. Yet in this sermon, I want us to focus on a phrase found in verse 3 that says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now I'm less than 4 years from being 80 years old. I know that surprises some of you because I don't look a day older than 65. At my age, I tire more quickly than I used to. If I burn the midnight oil, it's lights out at 10 o'clock. I used to be able to run 6-7 miles a day. But now if I had to run for my life, I'd be dead. That's just the way life is. Our bodies get worn out. They are not built to last. And if we live long enough, we can all expect to happen to us what Solomon wrote about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Despite being physically weakened, I find the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I find the Word of God inspires me to finish the race set before me. I find it's no time to give in, give up, or give out. And though I may be tired, I have not grown weary. Have you ever noticed how little children look forward to getting older? You know, I was at my grandson's birthday party they had yesterday, and one of them told the other one, the one that's 11 going on 12, he says, when I turn 12, I'm finally going to be a Rainy, and it's going to take you 2 more years. But you know what? When they turn 9, they tell everybody they're going on 10. Now, older people, when they're asked their age, they respond with something like, I'm going on 39 and none of your business. I remember watching the news one night, and this woman was celebrating her 100th birthday party. And a reporter asked her, what did she enjoy most at her age? And she looked at that reporter and said, naps. Yes, we will all tire physically as we get up in years. But there are some things that we all should be tired of, no matter what our age. For me, I'm tired of sin. I don't like what it does in my own life, nor do I care to see what it does in the lives of others. It is destructive, it is deceitful, and it is deadly. It promises pleasure and delivers pain. It corrupts a conscience, ruins one's reputation, and those beset by it are the basest of men. Sin earns wages. Sin pays wages. And sin insists on paying. Sin brings sorrow. It separates us from God, and it reaps more than it sows. Don't be fooled. You won't sow sinful habits and reap godly character. You can't sow jealousy and hatred and reap love and friendship. You are not going to sow wicked thoughts and reap a clean life. You can't sow wrong deeds and live righteously. Sow crooked dealings with others and hope others will deal with you honestly. And you will not sow covetousness and reap generosity. You know, the sin of unbelief in the finished work of Christ on the cross will doom one to a devil's hell. But sin in the life of the saved will taint their testimony, bring shame to the name of Jesus, cause our request to God to be rejected, and bring upon us God's chastening hand. So often I feel like the Apostle Paul, who wrote in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, while I'm glad for the Christian bar of soap that is found in 1 John 1, 9, and I long for the day when I no longer have to use it, where I will no longer be plagued by sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit, and I'll be just like Jesus, and sin for me will be no more. I'm tired of Satan. I don't like him. I don't like him accusing the brethren. I don't like him blinding the minds of the lost to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I despise his lies. I care not for the fiery darts that he hurls our way. And I abhor his dirty bags of tricks that he used on Adam and Eve and still finds them successful today. Yes, man continues to fall for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I find his doctrines damnable, his ministers deplorable, and his activity in churches disgusting. Behind the pulpit, he uses his dupes to preach from a "Yea, hath God said" Bible, to herald forth a false gospel, where worship isn't in spirit and in truth, where the music and the songs that are sung are not biblical, where there is a spirit of unforgiveness in the congregation, where he uses a diatrophies, a spiritual obstructionist, to wreak havoc in the church. I can't wait for this serpent, this murderer, this father of all lies, this devouring lion, the devil, this fallen anointed cherub, the enemy of God and his people, to be cast in the place prepared for him. I'm tired of our nation's schools kicking out the Bible, prayer, and parental rights, and teaching such nonsense as evolution. I mean devolution. Same thing. I'm tired of climate change. You know, God controls the weather. And there is climate change every year. It's called spring, summer, fall, and winter. And that will never change. Man does not change the climate. God does. I'm tired of schools believing that once kids walk through the door, they belong to them. I'm tired of them being indoctrinated and not being educated. And I'm tired of classrooms with pride flags and Mexican flags being flown while the American flag is being devalued. I'm tired of calling the cold-blooded murder of babies in the womb abortion. It is Americans' Holocaust, and those who participate in such barbarism are guilty of shedding innocent blood. Right. To be pro-choice is to be pro-death. And let me tell you, human life begins at conception and not at birth. I don't know if you know this or not, but in Oregon, they even have March 10th as Abortion Provider Appreciation Day. I'm tired of couples moving in together without being married and calling each other husband and wife. That doesn't make a marriage. But what it is fornication. And it is a pair of whoremongers in the bondage of sin. I'm tired of the terms baby mama, baby daddy. Such children are not born into a marriage with two loving parents. These children are the results of sinful lust between the two involved. I'm tired of filthy mouths I hear out in public. It's bad enough on TV or the radio, it can at least turn channels. But the word spewed forth by some caused me to wonder, how does one eat with such a vile yap? It's unmanly, it's unwomanly, and it's ungodly to curse and to swear. Others should not have their ears subjected to such vulgar speech. I'm tired of perversion being paraded around and celebrated as something normal. Sodomy is an abomination. And those folks involved in such vileness don't need an exception of the acceptance of their uncleanness. They need repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, who can set them free from that grievous sin. I'm tired of the LGBTQ, MICKEY, MOUSE crowd, who pushes all kinds of different genders. And I know they say there's now over 50 of them. And I want to force the rest of us to use their preferred pronouns. They are the only two genders. Those genders are male and female. And just because they're confused about their identity doesn't mean the rest of us have an identity crisis. Yes, I understand that at one time I was a man trapped in a woman's body. But after about 10 months, my mama gave birth. I believe men ought to act like a man, talk like a man, walk like a man. And if you act effeminately, talk like your voice hasn't changed, and you got a little swoosh in your giddy up, Jesus can fix that if you get fixated on Him. Parents, let your boys be boys. Your girls be girls, and bring them up to be the men and women that the Lord would have them be. Sodomites and genderbenders, they can be saved. They can be forgiven. And Jesus Christ can give them power not to fall back into that debauchery. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11 tells us, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor reviles, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And notice this. He's writing to the Corinthians. And he says, "And such were some of you." They've been delivered from those sins. "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." Years ago, someone asked me, "Preacher, why don't you get in touch with your feminine side?" I said, "The reason I don't is because I don't have one. God created me to be a man, and if I had a feminine side and it reared its ugly head, I'd crucify it the moment it did." Morally depraved men who are so much more enlightened than I may accept such nonsense, and they may label me homophobic or transphobic, but let me tell you, they're heterophobic. And the day will come when those with their darkened minds will find out that we Bible believers, we've been right all along. Amen. Listen, these folks with their degrees and their intellect may promote such hooey, but I know some that don't even have the brain God gave a gnat, and they can tell the difference between a man and a woman. I'm tired of hearing that drunkenness, drug addiction, sexual promiscuity being labeled as a disease instead of sin against a holy God. If one is to be addicted, let him be addicted to the ministry. I'm tired of a lack of joy amongst believers. I'm tired of deadness in Baptist churches. I'm tired of the house of God being forsaken and not being faithfully attended by God's people. And those who make excuses for doing so and justify their disobedience. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the biblical know-it-alls who cry legalist every time a preacher lifts up his voice and cries aloud against their sin. You mentioned the word modesty, and it rankles the nose of every cur dog in attendance. Preachers used to preach against women showing their ankles, then exposing their calves, and then exposing their knees. Now they got to lift up their voices and cry out because they're unveiling the whole cow. I'm tired of preachers not willing to declare the whole counsel of God. They'd rather please men than the God who called them to preach. Where are the John the Baptists who lost their head over dancing? Where are the Nathans who'll stand up against a king and point out his adulterous affair with Bathsheba? Where are the Stephens who will face the opposition with truth, even though it caused him to be the main attraction at a rock concert? I'm tired of church services being turned into dramas. Having some movie being shown. Or worse yet, a cantata. With the Wiggle sisters on the platform, shaking what their mama gave them. What's with these worship teams anyways? What's wrong with congregations being involved in the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? What's the problem with that? I'm tired of going to a Baptist church only to find out and figure out that the people in attendance are a bunch of Calvinists tiptoeing through the tulips, or have gone a contemporary in the Bibles they use, the music they play, the low unbiblical standards they hold to. And I swear if you would close your eyes and listen to what the preacher is saying, you think you are listening to Joel Osteen, who offends nobody but God himself. I'm tired of Christians who, like little children, are tossed about with every wind of doctrine because they don't read their Bibles and are not rooted and grounded in the faith. I was once asked by one why I never preached on self-esteem. I said, because that's not found in the Scriptures. And you know what's found in the Scriptures? It's found in the Scriptures. We are to deny self. We are to crucify self. And it's Jesus and the Word of God that we are to esteem. I'm tired of these hireling preachers who at one time claimed to be fundamental Baptists and are no longer contend for the faith because it's no longer popular. It's hard to fill up the pews when doing so. It's hard to keep the big givers happy and take a stand for the Word of God. They'll even go so far as apologize for such truths as abstaining from alcohol, women having long hair, men having short hair, and coming to church with your Sunday going to meeting clothes on. They are now open to other versions of so-called Scripture. They use all kinds of methods to raise money for church, such as coffee shops, junk for Jesus sales. And in the process of doing so, they become like Creflo Want Your Dollar. They now think that destroying the faith once delivered unto the saints is a good thing, as a generation of rebels pack their churches out. I'm tired of worldliness amongst believers. Why are we looking like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world? Some are so spotted by the world, they look like a Dalmatian dog. We're guilty of spiritual adultery for being in love with this present evil world. Whatever happened to the admonition to come out from among them and be a separate? We need a word philosophy, not a worldly philosophy for living. I'm tired of Baptists not standing for biblical authority, the autonomy of the local church, the priesthood of the believer, two church officers being pastors and deacons, an individual soul liberty, a saved membership, two church ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and separation of the church from the state. I'm tired of Baptists dropping their soul winning programs. I'm tired of hearing preachers tell me it just don't work. You know, I find it still works. You just got to work it. I'm tired of them dropping their Sunday evening services, their midweek prayer meetings. Some will even take the name Baptist off their church signs. And I know that upsets some of my fellow Baptists. But I say, take it off. For they haven't been Baptists for quite a while anyway. And if they're not willing to bear the stigma, they're not worthy of it. I'm tired of hypocrisy. I'm tired of seeing people come to church acting like angels, But if you look closely at them, you will see horns coming out their skull, holding up that pretend halo above their head. I believe Hollywood is missing out on some of the greatest actors that they could ever have, for many a church-going believer pretends to be something they are not. I'm tired of those turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Those who don't present a clear, concise gospel. I'm tired of the Antichrist Mormons and JWs who deny the deity of our Lord. I'm tired of being mistaken for either one of them as I'm out soul winning because Baptists aren't doing the job in getting the gospel out. I'm tired of the disorder in so many believers' homes. So many claim to have a Christian home, but they don't. Just because everyone under the same roof claims to trust Christ as their Savior, goes to church faithfully, doesn't make it a Christian home. In a Christian home, Christ is its unseen guest. Wives are to be obedient and submissive to their husbands. The husband is to lead the home, provide for the home, and love his wife as Christ loved the church. And the little ones are to honor and obey mom and dad. Not after 20 times, after one time being spoken to. So many believing men live in subjection to their wives. And they pattern their marriage after Ahab and Jezebel. And then they can't figure out why their little ones turn out like Athaliah. I've had two of these women who ruled the roost. And I must say, they were successful back surgeons, for they stripped the spine completely out of their husband. And one of them said to me, "Well, you know what, preacher, I'm in charge because I'm smarter than my husband." And the other one told me she led the home because she was more spiritual. Now, to the first one I replied, "You can't be too smart. You married him." And to the second one, I said, "If you were all that spiritual, you'd be in subjection to the man that you married." One cannot improve on God's design for the home. Now, concerning those little ones, they need discipline. They need to learn to obey the first time they are spoken to. Don't be one to say such nonsense, "Well, I love my little one too much to discipline him." No. If the truth be told, you love yourself too much to be bothered to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have a juvenile delinquency problem, and it's linked because parents are delinquent in the chastening of their children. Every child comes with a well-padded place on their body where the paddle ought to be applied. And folks, when it comes to children, they are like canoes. They best operate when paddled from the rear. Men, lead your homes. Love your wives. Wives, be in subjection to your husband. Show your husband honor and respect. And children, obey and honor your parents. We need to bring back order in our homes and make sure they are truly Christian in all that is said and done in the family. I suppose I could go on about other things that I'm tired of. And even though I get tired, I'm not about to be wearied and faint in my mind. I will not weary in my fight against sin. I'm not about to wave the white flag of surrender. I will continue to battle as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When it comes to sin, I'll kick it as long as I got a foot. I'll punch it as long as I got a fist. I'll butt it as long as I got a head. I'll bite it as long as I got a tooth. And I will do so until I go home to glory or it goes home to perdition. I will not weary in my fight in the stand on the King James Bible. The only book God wrote and the one that is the very written voice of God. Not too long ago, I had somebody that was going to take over a ministry. And they were looking for support, and they were on deputation. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you believe about the King James Bible? And he went on something, and I said, well, let me ask you, is it inspired? And he started talking about the originals and the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic, and he went on this diatribe for a long time. And I let him, you know, talk it out. I didn't learn anything new. And then when he got done, I said, well, you didn't answer my question. I said, is the King James Bible inspired or not? He said, no. I said, we don't have anything further to discuss. You will not come to our church nor present your ministry here. I will not weary in my stand on the written voice of God. It is our only source of faith and practice. It is our H.I.M. book because it speaks of Jesus Christ. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is a light for our path. It is the source of our comfort. It is food for the inner man. The answer to life's problems. It brings one's joy. It contains wealth untold. It gives liberty and it transforms us for His glory. It's perfect. It's pure and it is preserved. It is inerrant, infallible, incorruptible, and just as inspired as the day God spoke it into existence. It is tried, every bit is true, and blessed is everyone who trusts it. I will continue to read it through, study it regularly, pray it in, work it out, proclaiming its truth, and when my life is over, I will put it down and take a copy of it with me to the grave. I will not weary in being an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, sin-hating, devil-fighting, God-loving, soul-winning, pre-trib, pre-mill, saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, separated, eternally secure believer. Being persecuted, maligned, lied about, or opposed will not cause me to be weary and faint in my mind. You see, I'm a soldier of the cross. Jesus is my commanding officer. The Bible is my code of conduct. The Word and prayer are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by godly pastors, tried by adversity, and tested by fiery trials. I'll either retire in this army, and when I can no longer soldier on, either I'll die in the fight or I'll go home to glory. I'm not a baby that needs to be pampered, picked up, or pepped up. I'm not a wimp, nor am I a deserter. I am in my place. I'm obeying my captain. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, or catered to. I am committed. I am consecrated to the one who loved me and gave himself for me. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to quit on the one who's never failed me. I will press on, stay the course, for I will keep my eyes on Jesus. Then when my race is done, the battle is won, I want to hear my Lord say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray, turning loose, going underground, coming out my ears and my nose. My chest has dropped into my drawers. My get up and go has gone and went. I have summer teeth. Some are here and some are not. My hearing is dull. My eyesight is dimming. And though I get tired of some things, I will not weary of living for Jesus. Amen. May we all commit ourselves afresh and anew to live for the Savior and to love Him preeminently. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.